Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
The following column is entitled Lessons from the iPhone X. It was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. And here's what Jim has to say. The Apple of today rarely stumbles, at least not as it did in the 1980s, when it nearly went out of business. However, Apple's recent product launch, the near simultaneous announcement of the iPhone 8 and the iPhone X, and what happened to 9, was close. The 8 experienced sluggish early sales. There were dire predictions about the X. However, this past week, when the X was available for pre-order, despite its lofty price of over $1,000, the units available for pre-order sold out in about 10 minutes. When I was a kid, I followed automobiles avidly. Their models, model years, and styles. I wondered why the big companies of the day didn't just leap ahead a few years and pull, say, the 1965 models up to 1962. Obviously, they were in development. What would it take? I missed the point. They could sell the 1962, 63, 64, and then 1965 models at the rates they could make them. Pulling them up in the introduction schedule would cost money, lots of money in new development work that would have to take place to keep the pipeline full in the future. We often think innovation should occur as swiftly as possible. When we are up against stiff competition, this is true. It is also true when we have a breakthrough product. But in the normal course of events, it is often best for the bottom line if you pace your cell phone innovation. As you might have guessed, our topic for the month is innovation and strategy. Even if you have other insights about what your development people are bringing down the road, it often makes sense to be just innovative enough to beat your competition today and tomorrow. Let's not get hasty and try to beat them next year already. I was explaining this to a supplier to our industry a couple of years ago. He had a bunch of great ideas and was ready to rush to market with all of them. I told him to slow down. Each one of his ideas looked like it would produce a nice revenue stream on its own, but taken together, it was just possible they would devalue each other. Even taking into account the time value of money, introducing them all at once just might result in less total revenue over, say, the next 5 years than if they were introduced one at a time and more slowly. After all, he was already outshining his competition and had all the orders he had the capacity to handle. He should bank some of those innovations for years further out. This is the mistake Apple made with the iPhone 8 and the iPhone X, at least as I see it. Of course, that business is highly competitive and cutthroat, so maybe the X had to be brought out now to keep the competition at bay. In that case, why bother with the 8 at all? We often think we have to innovate as quickly as we can, but it's just like the old joke about two guys out in the wilderness, one of them worrying about whether they could possibly outrun a bear. The other turns to the worry ward and says, I'm not worried about outrunning a bear. All I have to do is outrun you. There's a good lesson here. For safety this week, the area where we do not want to slow innovation is health and safety. Lives are at stake. Whoever in your facility is in charge of safety, I urge you to encourage them and provide them with the means to keep up with the latest developments in industrial health and safety. Be safe, and we will talk next week. And Jim adds a footnote here. He says, of course, when we talk about innovation in the pulp and paper trade publication field, we are aware that no one is more innovative than Papa Ritalo Publications, a position we have held for over a decade. As I mentioned last week and will continue to mention in the coming weeks, it is advertising sales season in our business. If you like our innovative ways of presenting the news about the pulp and paper industry, I'll suggest you do the following, as I suggested last week. If you're in a mill and like what you see here, please tell your suppliers what you like to read and who you would like to see them support with their advertising budgets. If you are a supplier, please be aware, we know, we are first in news, we think. We have the largest audience in the pulp and paper industry worldwide, and we know we have the lowest advertising costs. Give me a chance to prove it. Call me on my cell phone 404-822-3412 or email me at jthompson@taii.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017 Papa Ritalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of the column is Beware of the Sizzle When Sorting Out Innovation and Strategy. And here's what Jim Thompson has to say about that. Over 30 years ago, I worked for Dr. H. Wayne Adics, A-D-I-C-K-E-S, in the tech center of a major pulp and paper company. You chemistry junkies can find Wayne in Wikipedia. When we produced graphs to support our work, particularly when we produced sets of related graphs, Wayne had an absolute rule. The ordinate and abscissa on the graphs must be of the same scale and have the same origin and end values from graph to graph. If you needed a blow-up of a graph to show detail, it had to be shown as an inset to the graph with attributes that complied with all the other graphs in the set. Dr. Adics had seen too many doctored graphs in his experience. No one who worked for him was going to play games with data. Think about it. Every graph you have ever seen was designed to convey the story the presenter wanted to present. Think about what you have done yourself as you set about preparing graphs for a presentation. I know you chose all the attributes of the graph based on the conclusions you wanted to convey to your audience. Everybody does it. PowerPoint was introduced after my period of understudy with Dr. Adics. Sometimes I wish we could go back to those times, for I think we were more honest then. PowerPoint did not enjoy widespread use until someone after Microsoft released their version in 1990. Today, corporations use PowerPoint specialists to prepare their slide decks. The demand is so high that some corporations have these artists on staff while others contract the services. PowerPoint is specifically used in some organizations to sell the sizzle, for the steak is without substance. I have seen this many times while observing the development of capital budgets for projects. In fact, most capital budget teams, unless they have years of experience, tend to develop capital budgets that are lots of sizzle, no substance. But keep doing it, I make a great side income as an expert witness when these projects go bad. I can expand this further and say many funding requests involving implementation of innovations or strategies have way too much sizzle and not enough hard work in developing the basic foundational elements. This is why I said that sometimes I wish we could go back to those times before PowerPoint. One could not hide the poorly developed foundational premises so easily in those days. Of course, there are many other items besides graphs and PowerPoint decks that can be abused when putting together your innovation and strategy initiatives. Of course, there are many other items besides graphs and PowerPoint decks that can be abused when putting together your innovation and strategy initiatives. I saw a project once where large sums were spent implementing a strategy that was built on erroneous laboratory work. Marketing was pushing for a certain product change. We were all feeling the pressure to perform. About the time we finished modifying the first few production lines, thank goodness the mistake was found then, we had a total of 96 lines to reconfigure. The lab work was accidentally redone, coming to a different conclusion, bringing the project to a screeching halt. The real tragedy, however, was not the lost expenditures, but that we lost 6 months in our efforts to beat our competitors to market. That loss was incalculable. If you are in the room when a fancy presentation is being made, don't be duped by the dazzle. You may not want to embarrass the presenters publicly, but be ready to confront them privately after the show, for that is what it is, a show, and ask them for a private, in-depth explanation of their work. You could be more subtle than confrontational, asking them to explain it to someone as slow as I am, sort of like Columbo used to do on the TV show. And there I go, showing my age again. In the area of safety, I've seen more graphs stretched, twisted, and turned to make things look better than they are so many times. Personally, I don't need a graph or a presentation to tell me what your safety record will be. Just let me walk through your facility for 15 minutes, and I'll know, and you will too, if you're honest with yourself. Be safe, and we will talk next week. If you want to see lots of graphs and dazzle, ask us for our media. If you want to see lots of graphs and dazzle, ask us for our media kit. Yes, it is advertising sales season, and we have produced the best media kit we have ever put together. Ask me for a copy today, and put my feet to the fire. Make me explain it to you. You can get a copy by calling me on my cell phone, 404-822-3412, or emailing me at jthompson@taii.com. As we have been saying, if you like our innovative ways of presenting the news about the pulp and paper industry, I'll suggest you do the following. If you are at a mill and like what you see here, please tell your suppliers what you like to read and who you would like to see them support with their advertising budgets. If you are a supplier, please be aware, we know we are first in news. We think we have the largest audience in the pulp and paper industry worldwide, and we know we have the lowest advertising costs.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Steve Rush, and I'll be reading the column for Jim. The column is entitled, Now Let's Get Practical, Part 1. And here's what Jim has to say about that. In the first 2 weeks of Innovation and Strategy Month, we have talked about theory and the principles you might consider in approaching innovation and strategy in your own mill or company. It is time to get real and talk about opportunities and threats we all face today. I am going to assume that if you've made it this far, you are making grades of paper or paper boards that are sustainable. For as we all know, the industry has gone through a complete and thorough, shall we say, quote-unquote, marketing purge, whose genesis can be staked to about 1994, the start of commercialization of the Internet. In this purge, some grades thrived and some died. However, this can now be declared to be history for the most part. And for reference, see Jim's opening column on Global Paper Money on the 7th of November. The immediate threat and the concern is simply this. Who is going to operate our mills and who is going to maintain them? We'll take operations this week and maintenance next week. It is not by happenstance that most major pulp and paper companies these days have a corporate-level person or department called by the title similar to this, Talent Acquisition Director. We have gone from a period in the late 1990s when one could not get a job in the pulp and paper mill, even if willing to work for free, to a condition where there are not enough personnel available, at least in sufficient quantity, and not the right personnel available, or the necessary quality. This condition exists from the lowest level of hourly employee all the way to the PhD level. I know of no mill that has its full complement of approved personnel positions filled, nor that has the prospect of having them filled in the near term. This, of course, driving the cost of personnel higher and higher at a pace well beyond the underlying rate of inflation. Sadly, the basic foundational problem before we even approach the subject of education or experience is a problem that has slopped over into our domain from society in general. Mills today report that about half of the applicants, again at any level, cannot produce a clean drug use record. Half of the potentially eligible population cannot make it past this simple first step. Their history or their present condition is not drug-free. For those who can, the operation of mills has become a matter of complexity not seen in the past. Yes, there are people who can sit in front of a computer monitor or even carry around a tablet loaded with appropriate apps, but they have no sense of what the physical processes and machinery look like or where they are located. They don't know if that pulp line on their screen is as thin as a pencil or the size of a penstock at Hoover Dam. They couldn't find a fan pump without a trained guide. They have no feel for the process. The old-timers who have a feel for the process are often clumsy when it comes to operating the screens that control the processes today, although this second item is getting better as they retire. There is a disconnect between the video game aspects of the control room and the real world out beyond the air conditioning and the soundproof glazing where the pulp and paper products actually occurs. On top of this, old mills find themselves in a particularly bad predicament. In the old days, the operating control rooms were many, scattered and near the processes. As modern mill designs pulls these together at one location, where the operators are fewer and in better communication with each other. All modern recycled mills, for instance, have only one control room. Modern pulp mills are the same way. For existing mills to compete with these will require major investments, investments that may doom the mill. Education and economy will be the watchwords of the future when it comes to personnel and your facilities. This is our practical innovation lesson and strategic thought for the week. For safety, it follows that fewer people should lead to fewer opportunities to become injured. However, it just may be that the potential for injuries, while fewer, may mean the opportunity for a cataclysmic series of injuries may be greater as we lose the feel for the physical operation of the mill. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Hello?
Hey, Pete. This is Jane at Rocky Creek.
Hi, Jane. What's up?
Actually, Pete, I was kind of surprised to find you in your office. I thought your big boiler shutdown was going on.
We got done early. What can I do for you?
That's what I was calling about. Our recovery boiler outage is coming up next quarter, and I was wondering if you had any current experience with outage contractors.
Well, as I said, we got done early, a day early, and under budget. Most importantly, we had a zero safety incident rate.
Wow, who did you use?
RMR Mechanical. They even had time to teach our own maintenance people a thing or two.
That's good to know, Pete. Got their number?
RMR Mechanical. Call us at 770-205-9646 or meet us at rmrmechanical.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. The title of the column is Now Let's Get Practical, Part 2. And here's what Jim has to say about that. Last week we talked about personnel. I promised to talk about maintenance this week. If skilled operating personnel are in short supply, and the future is bleak as far as finding adequate numbers of trained operators, then the supply of qualified maintenance personnel is 10 times worse. A couple of years ago, when the oil patch suffered a downturn, some of us thought maintenance workers would be knocking on our doors, for their skills are largely transferable. It never happened. Yet even though the situation is bleak in the near term as far as maintenance personnel are concerned, I'll state that in the long term, it has a possibility of becoming much brighter. Why? Additive manufacturing and IoT. I have been touting additive manufacturing as a solution to some of our maintenance costs for several years. Simply, instead of having a warehouse full of unique spare parts that we have no idea when we will use, we will have additive manufacturing work centers, 3D printers, and bins of appropriate sintered alloys and plastic nodules from which we will make our own parts on site. From Uli box covers to ball valves, we'll make what we need when we need it from fungible bins of appropriate raw materials. But there's more. For decades, we have had NEMA frame motors and ANSI standard pumps. Why can these not be joined as a new skid-mounted fusion assembly with standard inlet and outlet piping locations and dimensions, as well as standard disconnect electrical service,
sort of a Nemancy power pump set. Then when a unit has problems, you slip it out, slip in another, and send the whole used unit to a central repair center for refurbishing. No service in your mill shop. It goes directly to a specialized service center that can economically and quickly refurbish it. Power pump sets are just the start of the implementation of this concept. IoT is the Internet of Things. It is the idea that everything is linked to the Internet. Our fusion pump assembly described above is an excellent example of a candidate for IoT. The manufacturer can then monitor it on a continuous basis and let the mill know when it is trending towards falling out of an acceptable operating specification range. The supplier will notify the mill that a replacement will be on its way for the mill to exchange at the next outage. This scenario takes predictive maintenance to an entirely new level and requires no mill personnel except for the quick disconnect-reconnect activity. This can be done for nearly everything in the mill, from dryer bearings to machine clothing to slice lips. Hook it all up to the IoT and let the manufacturers tell us when we're out of specification. IoT can and should be used for all of your electronic control systems right now. Instead of an instrument tech making rounds or sitting at a computer screen in your facility trying to ascertain what might go wrong with your drives and so forth, the supplier should be able to monitor these items right now at its own facility and let you know what you need to change today. At the same time, the supplier can automatically restock your lightly loaded spare parts inventory when you use a part. After all, they can get you more via overnight services to be on your shelves in the morning. Suddenly, with the implementation of the scenarios I have described here, your on-site maintenance skill level requirements and personnel count fall drastically. Your maintenance inventory melts away. Your mill runs closer to like new specifications that it has in years. Downtime is reduced, for now you have truly predictive maintenance provided by IoT. What's the downside? We need better internet security, for when you open your mill up to the sort of IoT I have described here, many, many parties will be able to reach into your mill and gather data. Sophisticated encryption will be required to make sure that only those with a need to know, know. This may be the largest challenge of them all, and the only one that is stopping you from beginning your conversion to the maintenance scenario of the future right now. Safety can join the IoT world, too. Sensors in dangerous areas monitoring sensors built into clothing can warn us when we're getting too close. Barriers can arm themselves and gently push us out of the way if our path to peril continues. We can do this right now, too. Be safe, and we will talk next week. And now this word, it is advertising sales season, and we have produced the best media kit we have ever put together. Ask me for a copy today and put my feet to the fire. Make me explain it to you. You can get one by calling me on my cell phone, 404-822-3412, or emailing me at jthompson@taii.com. As we have been saying, if you like our innovative ways of presenting the news about the pulp and paper industry, I'll suggest you do the following. If you're in a mill and like what you see here, please tell your suppliers what you like to read and who you would like to see them support with their advertising budgets. If you are a supplier, please be aware we know we are first in news. We think we have the largest audience in the pulp and paper industry worldwide, and we know we have the lowest advertising costs. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.